It is time for a spine-tingling edition of the State Capitol Report. Happy Halloween. I'm Joy Cardine. Thanks for joining us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, October the 31st. We will have a roundup of the latest State Capitol news for you this hour on the issues that are advancing through the state legislature. Our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, is with us, and we will also be hearing a little bit later in this half hour from Mike Simonson, our reporter based in Superior, who covered a legislative hearing in Hurley on the proposed iron mine in northern Wisconsin. And we welcome your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Also, after 7:30 this morning in our State Capitol Report, we'll welcome in a political scientist, and we're gonna talk about the latest on the recall front in terms of a couple of polls came out last week, public opinion polling released last week that has some mixed reviews for Governor Walker regarding a potential recall effort. And groups supporting a recall gathered last week, and even groups who don't support a recall have banded together, released an ad in support of Governor Thompson and a website proclaiming that Governor Thompson's policies are working. It's working, it's called. And we'll talk more about that as well coming up after 7:30. But Sean Johnson, good morning, first of all.
Good morning.
And we also have, though, some news regarding a potential recall regarding Governor Walker that Republicans in the state legislature have called a public hearing for today that would affect a potential recall.
Yeah, there's a couple, potentially pretty big bills in a public hearing that was called on Friday for today. And one of them, it wouldn't affect the governor. But what it would do is, as it stands right now, if there's going to be a recall of more Senate seats, as, you know, has been talked about for a few Republicans and, you know, a couple Democrats as well. If that recall were going to happen along with the governor's recall, it would take place in the current legislative districts, the ones that were drawn, you know, going on a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's current law. What Republicans are talking about doing, and the bill that's up in the hearing today, would hold any of those recall elections in the new maps, the ones that were drawn by the Republican legislature and passed this year.
That sounds a little strange.
And I mean, the reason it's more favorable for them is because they do the maps, and especially in these particular seats in question, they're much more favorable to Republicans under the new maps than they would be under the old maps. I mean, the seats we're talking about here have changed hands pretty regularly, but, you know, under these new maps, less of a chance of that happening, less of a chance of Republicans losing the Senate.
What's the justification for even proposing this, Sean? How do they justify having different districts for these recalls?
I think they'll make the case that the current law is confusing, that you don't know who's representing you. You sort of have people representing a couple different districts as it stands right now. But I mean, you know, the bottom line is the reason it's being done is because of what the potential outcomes would be.
Yeah. And so and we don't even know for sure. But the Democrats are saying we think we want to go after a certain number of Republican state senators.
We don't know for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know. And I mean, there are Democratic senators who could, you know, you look at how close their last election was, and they could potentially be recalled as well. But we don't know.
All right. So there's going to be a public hearing then today on whether the new redistricted Senate districts would be used in any upcoming Senate recalls. Also, a public hearing on Governor Walker's recall.
This is one that would... right now, when you circulate, whether it be a recall petition or nominating papers, you have to, you know, at the bottom of each sheet, the person who's circulating this stuff has to state their residence and, you know, that they personally circulated the papers and petitions, et cetera. What this plan would do, and this is up for hearing today as well, would say that if a circulator is signing a petition for the recall of an elected officer, it has to be acknowledged by a notary. It has to be notarized. And so that could potentially make it trickier or more difficult to recall anybody and a statewide office as well, like the governor.
And Democrats crying foul on both of these.
Well, I mean, the one with the notaries, I'm sure there will be people who testify and explain the pros and cons of something like this. But there is a provision in the state constitution when it talked in the recall. Of elected officers, Article 8, Section 12, it says that laws may be enacted to facilitate its operation, but no law shall be enacted to hamper, restrict, or impair the right of recall. So if you have something that makes it harder to recall someone, but it doesn't change, the process for circulating regular nominating petitions, I don't know if that falls into that category or not.
As mentioned, we'll talk more about this news on the recall front coming up with our political scientist guest after 7:30. But there were some, kickoff meetings for the people who are in support of a recall of Governor Walker last week.
Yeah, Democrats are traveling around the state trying to, get their supporters kind of all focused on that November 15th date when the recall petitions will begin to be circulated. The statewide organized recall petitions will begin to be circulated. And so the Democrats are trotting out some of their potential candidates. We had three of them speak at a forum in Madison last week.
Walker has done to the state that we all love has divided us beyond belief.
It's about the soul of our state. It's about restoring Wisconsin values.
He has a chip on his shoulder, half a mile high, and it's about time the Wisconsin voters knock it off.
So it was State Senator John Erpenbach, former Dane County Executive Kathleen Falk, and former Congressman Dave Obie. Obie probably got the biggest applause lines in that room. I think he got maybe the longest standing ovation, although I don't know if he's been one of those names that's been thrown out there as potentially could run, but it could be that he's in there to try to get somebody like a Herb Cole or Tom Barrett to run instead. Nobody's quite sure who the candidates will be at this point, although, Erpenbach and Falk seem to be making some serious noise about it.
We're going to pause now for a quick weather break. When we come back, we will talk about mining in Wisconsin and the public hearing that occurred last week in Hurley. Mike Simonson, our reporter based in Superior, is standing by to tell us what happened there. And Sean will have more on another bill affecting Wisconsin's natural resources that had a public hearing last week. And we'll talk about the latest when it comes to concealed carry as well. The concealed carry law takes effect tomorrow, and we'll find out what that means for the state capitol. And we welcome your questions and your comments about the issues in state politics at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Checking the weather forecast for today, it's going to be mostly cloudy with areas of drizzle this morning in eastern Wisconsin. We can expect high temperatures near 50 degrees. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, is with us during this half of the State Capitol Report. And joining us by telephone is Mike Simonson, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter in our Superior Bureau, who was at the mining hearing in Hurley last week. And Mike joins us by telephone. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, Joy.
So what exactly was being heard in Hurley last week?
Well, officially it was a committee meeting with the public invited to speak. So it wasn't a public hearing, although the public got their chance to talk. And it wasn't about the proposed Pinoki iron ore mine. It was about changing mining law so it would have a more definitive date for people who are hoping to get regulations. And so it wasn't specifically about this mine. It was about any proposed mine. Because right now, at least according to the testimony at that meeting, it takes anywhere from 4 to 9 years to get the proper permitting to start a mine, and then it's like 2-3 years construction before the mine can actually get going, so you're talking a decade.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you clarified that, Mike. The Assembly Republicans held a news conference last week to say we will write a new mining bill for the state of Wisconsin, but there really wasn't anything definitive at that hearing, was there?
No, that was a big question, and that was, you know, something that was disturbing to a lot of people, including me, because what were they going to talk about? There wasn't a bill there. The chair, Representative Williams, she said that she has seen a draft of a bill, but no draft has been released, so people were just generally commenting about the impacts of mines for economic reasons and environmental reasons, and so there was a lot of generalities. For 5 hours, it went on with invited testimony. A lot of it was, you know, Wisconsin Mining Association and GTAC, which is proposing the mine, and unions, which would benefit from the mine. It was a couple of hours before an invited guest was against the mine, and that was the Bad River Tribe and Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Corporation. But for 5 hours, it was invited testimony, and there was absolutely nothing new from any of that testimony that was given for 5 hours that hasn't been reported by us or the Journal Sentinel or a state journal.
But generally, the Republicans who want to change Wisconsin's mining law want to make it quicker to open a mine, especially an iron ore mine?
Yeah, probably the closest thing to new was the Wisconsin Mining Association's spokesperson, Tim Sullivan, said that they want to be able to start to finish the process in 2 years. The original draft, which was released in May, more or less leaked, called for 300 days. So this is that's a difference. I don't know if that's actually going to be in the legislation, but he said 2 years, and if that's the case, then that is a substantially quicker timeline.
Yeah. Well, was there a sense at this meeting whether the region is looking forward to this mine or not?
Kind of it's a tale of two counties. Iron County has a mining history. Iron County, when its last mine closed in the early 60s, had about 30,000 population. Now it's 6,000. And one of the people who is talking for the mine, and a lot of this testimony was, we need jobs more than we need mines, but jobs would come from a mine. And it said that 5% of those 6,000 use one of the three counties' food shelves. It was pretty stunning, the testimony from the public, not the invited, but just the ones who showed up, about the difficulties that they're having trying to make ends meet, trying to make a living in Iron County.
Yeah, and those who oppose, like the Bad River Tribe, are concerned about the environment?
You know, pretty much everybody's concerned about the environment, even the ones who says, yes, let's do this mine, but let's do it responsibly. And I don't know if responsibly is a code word or what, but I think from the citizens, it's nobody wants the environment hurt. No one wants to see degradation to the Lake Superior watershed. So folks in support of it said, let's do this right. And if we do this right, then we can do other mines right. And the Pinoki Range proposal could set the standard for future mining because there's a lot of interest in ore bodies across northern Wisconsin right now.
Well, I know you'll continue following this for us. Mike, thanks a lot for being with us.
Yeah, you betcha. What are you wearing for Halloween?
I have a jack-o'-lantern pumpkin that I'm not wearing. What about you, Mike?
I'm going as I am. It's pretty scary.
Thank you very much for being with us. Mike Simonson, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter. based in Superior. And Sean Johnson is still with us. Sean is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. And I know there was a public hearing on a different bill about natural resources last week at the state capitol, Sean, that some thought might be related to mining. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, I mean, this bill does a lot of stuff. I broadly speaking, it speeds up the approval process, streamlines approval process for a lot of, a variety of different natural resources permits. But I think three significant things sort of stood out at the hearing. One is that this bill has something called presumptive approval, whereas it speeds up these timelines for the DNR to approve permits for, various natural resources projects. And if the DNR doesn't hit its mark, if it doesn't get its work done on time in terms of these permits, they're effectively approved. And State Senator Neil Kedzie of Elkhorn explained the rationale behind this at a public hearing.
It's called presumptive approval.
Okay.
Where if you don't complete your homework in the given timeline, shame on you is what it comes down to.
And that's, this is something where Republicans say DNR needs to be more responsive to its customers. But Democrats and a number of environmental groups have said that what you're going to do here, especially since the DNR is short-staffed, is you're effectively approving a lot of permits because the DNR can't get to them in time. They're just going to kind of flow out and get okayed. A couple other provisions of this bill. One would make it easier to develop right up along the shorelines like condominiums right up on the water. That's something that George Meyer, former DNR secretary, current head of Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, spoke out against.
Instead of having parks on our shorelines, as example, in Milwaukee or Madison or Lake Michigan, there's going to be constant pressure to fill in public land, really, to put up condominiums. We don't want condominiums to go up on our state parks. We surely don't want it at our lakes filled in just for the purpose of private developers.
And then there's another piece of the bill that lets, if you own land along a lake or stream, lets you remove material from the lake, whether it be to get your boat in there or to navigate your boat along a stream. And in some instances, you could take out 500 cubic yards of material each year. And to put that in perspective, that's like 50 dump trucks of material that you could take out of a lake or stream under certain circumstances. And nobody's quite sure where that provision came from, but that's another one where environmentalists say that's a pretty big deal.
Hey, another big deal is this concealed carry law takes effect starting tomorrow. Doesn't mean that I can have my concealed weapon tomorrow, but I can start applying for a permit tomorrow, Sean?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's when November 1st is when the law takes effect. You'll be able to get a permit if you get 4 hours of training. You won't have to have live fire in that training. So, as long as you get that 4 hours of training, you'll be okay. And once you've got it, I don't believe you'll be able to carry your concealed weapon to work because we work on, and I'm not sure about that. I believe the university buildings.
I think said, no weapons.
But, down at the other end of the street at the Capitol, you will be able to take a concealed gun into the Capitol building. It'll be up to each individual legislator's office whether they want to allow them in their office. But you'll also be able to take them into the State Assembly gallery.
Sounded like there was a little bit of a dispute between the Senate and the Assembly as to what should be permitted, with the Senate coming up with slightly different rules.
Yeah, the Senate's different. I mean, if you go to the Capitol and you want to see all the sights, you will not be able to take your concealed weapon into the Senate gallery. But Assembly Speaker Jeff Fitzgerald said that, he had no problem allowing them in the Assembly.
I would rather have law-abiding citizens that go through a course be able to protect themselves than just have somebody up in the gallery that would be able to do currently what they are. We've heard from the other side of the aisle that we want this building to be open and all the public to be there. So if that's the case, then we also want citizens to be able to come in and protect themselves.
And, you could expect Democrats to, make some noise about this proposal because Assembly rules ban a variety of other You know, you can't read a newspaper in the assembly gallery. There have been a number of people arrested recently for videotaping in the assembly gallery.
And even just having a sign pinned to them was against the rules?
That's not permitted. Mm-hmm. But if you have a concealed weapon, if it's concealed,
it's gonna be
that
okay.
will be permitted in the assembly gallery.
Well, just a couple of minutes to go here. A couple of other issues from last week, including... there's a bill on the governor's desk that would let me buy beer starting at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, in case you can't wait till 8 a.m., this one got bipartisan support, not a whole lot of debate, and it's being touted as a tailgater bill, that if you want to travel, you know, say you're driving from Madison up to the Packers game, you want to stop by the grocery store ahead of time and get your tailgating supplies, you can get your beer at 6 in the morning.
Well, let me clarify to listeners, I'm not going to buy beer at 6 in the morning, and I'm not going to have a concealed weapon either. But Governor Walker also last week announced a new compensation plan for state workers. The no raise was no huge surprise, was it, Sean?
I don't think so. But there was a provision in it. I mean, what's different about this is the first plan he's done since he's been governor, since mm-hmm. the whole collective bargaining stuff happened. So a lot of the work rules that used to be negotiated between unions and the state are gone under this plan. The state now decides who gets to work overtime. And also, when there are merit raises, those will be sort of centralized under Walker's Department of Administration. Instead of being decided, independently within state agencies. So that's something where unions cried foul, said it'll give the governor more power to reward them who have merit in his eyes. But they said, it's just we're just making sure everybody follows the paperwork.
Well, we didn't get to everything, but Sean, we got to a lot of it. Thanks very much for being here.
Thanks, Joy.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, with us almost every Monday at this time to talk about what's happening at the state capitol. More after the news.